Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Hello and welcome to Reality Check. Today is Wednesday, the 5th of June, 2013, and I'm your host, Tony Pittman. This is episode 60 of Reality Check here on Joy 94.9. Reality Check is a show designed to give you a healthy dose of reality, and we do that by promoting the art of critical thinking and skeptical analysis. Each show we bring you a roundup of LGBT news, followed by an in-depth analysis of an issue related to the paranormal or the pseudoscientific. And finally, we wrap up each show with a movie review. On today's show, after our LGBT news roundup, we're going to undertake an examination of one of the biggest proponents of alternative medicine, pseudoscience, and quackery on the internet, Dr. Joseph Mercola. With his books, TV appearances, and online sales techniques, he's become a very influential and very wealthy man. Unfortunately, he promotes a lot of ridiculous and indeed dangerous ideas in the process. Then, in our movie review, we'll have a look at two new movies from Europe, Contiki and Barbara. So for all that and more, stay tuned here to Reality Check on Joy 94.9. Now, just before we begin today's LGBT news roundup, I'd like to take a moment to remember a friend, a skeptic, and former guest here on Reality Check, Robert Bishop. Robert passed away tragically and unexpectedly on the 22nd of April, at the very young age of just 47. He just dropped dead at home, basically, and we still don't know how or why. He was an active skeptic, an active atheist, and a very active member and candidate of the Sex Party. He actually appeared on a few episodes of Reality Check back in 2010, including our very special 2-hour 50th episode, which was unfortunately not recorded because the computer malfunctioned that night. And he also helped Sonia Suter host a couple of the Reality Check episodes when I was away in Bali for a period of time then as well. So today's show is dedicated to Robert Bishop, a wonderful skeptic and a wise and charming human being, and one who will be sorely missed. All right, now let's get into our LGBT news roundup covering the time since the last episode of Reality Check back on the 5th of March. So that's covering the last 3 months. And let's start, as usual, with marriage news. And, well, my hyperbole becomes more and more shrill each episode because we just keep reaching new heights as the unstoppable wave of marriage equality continues to sweep across the world at what seems to be an ever-increasing pace. So to continue in that hyperbolic vein, over these past 3 months, more people came to find themselves living in jurisdictions with marriage equality than has ever happened in history. Because we saw not only France, Uruguay, and New Zealand achieve marriage equality, but also the entire country of Brazil, plus the states of Rhode Island, Delaware, and Minnesota in the US. In total, that's 275 million people that live in places that achieved marriage equality just over these last 3 months. Now that's unprecedented. I keep saying it, dear listener, every episode, but it's true, we really do live in historic times. All right, let's quickly go through all of those astounding developments, starting with the biggest marriage news, well, probably ever, as far as I'm concerned, and that is that the whole of Brazil, with its 194 million inhabitants, the fifth most populous country in the world, has now become by far the largest country to introduce full marriage equality. Now, we've been reporting on the situation in Brazil for the last couple of years now, as marriage equality has gradually been spreading throughout the country, state by state. Since our last episode of Reality Check on March 5th, 7 more states introduced marriage equality, including the state of Rio de Janeiro. But then, suddenly, on May 14th, just 3 weeks ago, everything changed. Because on that day, the Brazilian National Council of Justice, which is a body that oversees the judiciary, issued a ruling stating that registry offices throughout the country cannot deny marriage licenses to same-sex couples. Thus, the council, with a stroke of the pen, effectively established marriage equality throughout Brazil. The only small complication is that a week later, on May 21st, a conservative political party appealed that decision to the Brazilian Supreme Court, saying it was unconstitutional and had to be approved by the Congress. So marriage equality in Brazil is not completely set in stone yet, but it's looking pretty likely that the decision will be upheld. Whatever does happen, dear listener, you can be sure that we'll keep you informed about it here on Reality Check. Now, apart from Brazil, the other really significant country to achieve marriage equality was, of course, France. Not only significant because it's a big country with 65 million people, but, well, it's France, home of Napoleon, one of the great world powers, for the last 300 years at least, going back to Louis XIV in the 17th century. Or even going back to Charlemagne in the 8th century, if you want to go back that far. And of course, France is still very influential in the world. It's one of the 5 permanent members of the UN Security Council and has a long list of former colonies where it still maintains a strong influence. So very, very heartening news that France has now finally joined the distinguished list of countries with marriage equality. So basically what happened there was that in April, both the French Senate and the National Assembly approved the Marriage Equality Bill. It was signed into law by the President on May 17th, and finally on May 29th, just last week, the first same-sex wedding took place in the southern city of Montpellier. So same-sex marriage is now a reality in France, and weddings are taking place there right now as we speak. Now, another country that achieved marriage equality over these last few months was, of course, a bit closer to home, New Zealand. Maybe not as influential in the world as France, but it is the first country in the Asia-Pacific to get same-sex marriage, and, well, certainly what's happened there is having an influence here in Australia. Suddenly, a lot of politicians over here are realizing that this is now inevitable. Of course, we knew that all along, but some of our pollies are a bit slow off the mark. So the Marriage Equality Bill was passed by New Zealand's Parliament on 17th of April and will come into effect in August. So big congratulations to all our New Zealand listeners. So Brazil, France, New Zealand, that leaves only Uruguay as the 4th country to get marriage equality since March. The bill there passed the lower house in December and then passed the Senate on April 2nd. It was signed by the President on May 3rd and will come into effect on August 1st. which leaves only the United States that we still need to talk about. And what happened there was once again quite extraordinary and unprecedented. Because just in the first 2 weeks of May, three states achieved marriage equality, one after the other. It was quite astounding. The number of states with same-sex marriage climbed from 9 to 12 in just a matter of days. Rhode Island passed its law on May 2nd, Delaware passed its bill on May 7th, and Minnesota followed up on May 13th. And they'll all come into force sometime in July or August. So, dear listener, if you're wondering why you've been hearing a lot about marriage in the news lately, well, that's why. The dominoes have just been falling at an ever-increasing pace. It makes you wonder what's going to happen next in this exciting and unpredictable game. Well, the UK is now well underway, so that's coming very soon. And, well, another thing that will happen in just a few weeks from now, and will certainly attract a lot of media attention, is the United States Supreme Court decisions on DOMA and Proposition 8. Now, those decisions might change everything in the US, or they might change very little. But one thing is certain, they will be historic, precedent-setting decisions when handed down in just a few weeks from now, at the end of June. So keep your eye out for that, dear listener. Anyway, that's all for momentous marriage news. What about other issues? Well, we don't normally like to talk about bad news here on Reality Check because it's pretty much been the same bad news for LGBT people around the world day after day, week after week for the last few centuries at least. But there is one particularly bad development that is so egregious that it warrants a quick mention here on the show. And that is what's happened in Nigeria over the last few days. Last Thursday, May 30th, the Nigerian House of Representatives passed the Same-Sex Marriage Prohibition Bill. The Senate had previously passed the same bill back in November 2011. And it quietly passed through the House last week. The only thing left to happen now is for President Goodluck Jonathan to sign it into law. Now, this charming bill sets prison terms of up to 14 years for any couple participating in a same-sex marriage. And anyone who helps or witnesses such an event can get 10 years jail. There's also 10 years in prison for anyone trying to form an LGBT rights organization or open a gay bar or for the, quote, public show of same-sex amorous relationships, end quote. Yes, 10 years in prison for any of that. Of course, same-sex activity is already a crime in Nigeria. And in some northern regions with Sharia law, it's actually a capital crime. But those Nigerian legislators just feel the need to be seen to be clamping down on this terrible threat to the nation, apparently. Anyway, it's not law yet. It hasn't been signed by the president. And I even read one report saying that the bill still has to go back to the Senate to have certain amendments approved. So there's still hope that it won't become law. And to all our Reality Check listeners in Nigeria, our thoughts are with you and we hope that this horrible bill dies the death that it most clearly deserves. Now, let's do a quick update on the situation here in Australia regarding plans to introduce federal anti-discrimination legislation covering sexual orientation and gender identity. Now, as previously reported here on Reality Check, the government was planning a major reform of all five federal anti-discrimination laws, consolidating them all into one brand new law that would outlaw discrimination on the basis of race, sex, disability, and age, while adding the new categories of sexual orientation and gender identity. However, on March 19th, the Attorney General, Mark Dreyfus, announced that that plan had been thrown out the window and that instead they would just undertake the quicker and easier reform of simply adding new grounds to the already existing Sex Discrimination Act. And interestingly, those grounds include not only sexual orientation and gender identity, but also intersex status as well. Very encouraging to see. I think that that's a world first, actually, to include intersex status in an anti-discrimination bill, at least at the national level. And I'm happy to report, dear listener, that the amendment to include these new grounds was passed by the House of Representatives last Thursday, May 30th, and will now go to the Senate. So fingers crossed it will be passed there as well in the few weeks of sitting time left before the federal election on September 14th. Hopefully that will be some good news to report in our next episode of Reality Check. And finally, to finish off, let's just do a quick update for those of you who've been following our local campaign in the electorate of Melbourne Ports, where I live, to convince our federal MP, Michael Danby, to vote in favour of marriage equality. Last September, when the same-sex marriage bill came before the House of Reps, he chose to abstain, which was disappointing, particularly because he's a member of the Labour Party and so had a conscience vote on the issue. So we formed a local action group in the electorate to gently persuade him to vote yes next time round. And guess what, dear listener? After 6 months of lobbying, it worked. Just a couple of weeks ago, Michael Danby announced right here on Joy 94.9, actually, that he will vote yes to marriage equality from now on. So a small but very sweet little victory there, and one that shows that you can achieve change in the world, particularly if you join forces with like-minded people. Great things are indeed possible. So on that hopeful and positive note, we come to the end of our LGBT news roundup for the last 3 months. Let's take a quick break now and listen to a song, and when we come back, we'll have a look at one of the world's most prominent promoters of health-related quackery and pseudoscience, Dr. Joseph McCullough. So don't go away. Much more Reality Check coming up here on Joy 94.9.
We have the fresh sound you're looking for.
Joy 94.9.
Hi, this is François Sagat, et vous écoutez Joy sur 94.9.
Welcome back to Reality Check. I'm Tony Pittman and the station is Joy 94.9. And the song you just heard there was Que Te Quería by Spanish pop group La Quinta Estación. We now move into the part of the show where we undertake a skeptical analysis of a subject related to pseudoscience or the paranormal. And today we're going to remain clearly in the realm of pseudoscience and examine the activities of a very prominent promoter of health-related pseudoscience and quackery, Dr. Joseph McCullough. Now, I was inspired to talk about Dr. McCullough today by an email I got from a listener here in Melbourne, Teresa, and I'll read part of her email. So Teresa writes, "A doctor I saw recently, a real fair-dinkum MD doctor, has been swayed by Dr. McCullough's arguments and has recommended his ideas and his products to me. She wants me to get stuck into his Q10 and ubiquinol. She wants me and you and everyone else to refrain from eating animal products and grains." And then Teresa gives a few more details about some of the other strange advice her doctor told her, and then she concludes, "I will not be going back to her or anyone else at that clinic which promotes alternative medical treatments such as acupuncture. as I prefer to see a doctor whose advice and treatment is science-based. I'm funny like that. Well, you know what, Teresa? I'm funny like that too. I also prefer my medicine science-based. So thank you very much for your email, Teresa, and for your suggestion. It was a great idea and inspired me. So today we're going to delve a little bit deeper into who is this man, Dr. McCullough, and exactly what kind of treatments and therapies and products does he promote? Well, basically, Dr. McCullough is so famous because he runs an extremely popular alternative medicine website, McCullough.com. He is quite simply one of the most influential people on the internet promoting all kinds of wacko pseudoscientific products, supplements, and therapies. To give you an example of how popular his website is, it gets 1.9 million unique visitors every month. Now, on a scale known as the Alexa scale, he currently comes in at number 776 in the United States. That means that out of all the millions of websites in the US, his comes in at number 776 when listed in the order of number of visitors. Now, that's high. That's very high. For example, the Scientific American website comes much lower than that at 1,893. Randi.org, James Randi's website, comes in way down at 24,000. The Skeptic's Guide to the Universe website comes in at 96,000. But Dr. McCullough comes in at 776, which is pretty much the same level as the National Institutes of Health. So that's the level he's at. He's extremely, extremely popular. And of course, Dr. McCullough's fame is not just limited to the internet. He's also written 8 books, 2 of which became New York Times bestsellers, and he also appears regularly on TV, mostly on daytime talk shows in the US, particularly the Dr. Oz show and The Doctors, both of which, unfortunately, are also screened here in Australia. So just before we get into some of the claims he makes and the products he sells, let's try to find out a little bit more about this Dr. McCullough. Well, the first interesting little tidbit to note is that even though all over his website and whenever he's on TV, he's always referred to as Dr. McCullough, he's actually an osteopath. So, surprise, surprise, he's not really a doctor at all. He never went to medical school. He never studied medicine. He studied osteopathy at the Chicago College of Osteopathic Medicine. And yet he calls himself a doctor at every possible opportunity. And he certainly always dresses like a doctor, with a light-coloured shirt and a tie every time he appears anywhere. And normally he appears in his videos with some thick, medical-looking textbooks on the shelf behind him. So he certainly likes to play the part of a doctor, even if he isn't quite one himself. In fact, this reminds me of another famous doctor that we've talked about a few times here on Reality Check, Dr. D'Adamo, the inventor of the blood type diet. He's a naturopath who also calls himself doctor at every opportunity. Birds of a feather? Quite possibly. Now, dear listener, if you're wondering exactly what osteopathy is, well, that's probably a subject enough for an entire episode of Reality Check in itself. But basically, it's a form of alternative medicine founded in the United States in the late 19th century, based on the manipulation of the bones, joints, spine, and muscles in order to supposedly achieve optimal health. It's very similar to chiropractic. In fact, the founder of chiropractic, D.D. Palmer, was trained by the founder of osteopathy. And each then accused the other of creating a bastardized version of the one true philosophy. Most importantly, like chiropractic, osteopathy is not based on science, and there is no good evidence to show that it's an effective therapy for the vast majority of conditions that it's used to treat. So, in other words, Dr. Mercola is coming from a medical grounding based on an ideology rather than on science or reality. So, what are the kinds of issues that he promotes and talks about? Well, it's a very mixed bag, and like most of the promoters of alternative medicine out there, I can't really see a common logical thread linking all the various therapies and products that he promotes. Basically, he espouses the classic kind of natural health philosophy in which alternative medicine is good, vitamins and supplements are good, but pharmaceuticals and vaccines are bad, and there's an evil conspiracy between Western medicine and Big Pharma and the government to conceal the truth and keep you sick and sell you drugs that you don't actually need. And the FDA, oh well, it doesn't exist to regulate, to protect consumers. No, it's just part of the great conspiracy. Now let's hear a little snippet from one of his videos, and I think you'll get the general idea.
Hello, this is Dr. Mercola, and if you live in the United States, and if you value your health freedom, this is going to be one of the most important videos you've watched in a long time, and I would encourage you to share it with your family and friends. It involves the FDA. Now, the FDA's self-described mission is to protect and to promote the public health. Now, the reality is that the FDA is an agency that protects major industries and is tragically causing death and disease within this country and across the world.
Across the world! And blah, 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 he goes on and on for, I think, for 15 minutes in that video talking about the evils of the FDA. One of Dr. Mercola's best-selling books is called The Great Bird Flu Hoax, in which he says that humans face no threat from bird flu, it's all just a conspiracy of the drug companies and the government to make you afraid and to sell you pharmaceuticals and vaccines that you don't need. Apparently. Now, let's have a look in a bit more detail at some of the specific causes that Dr. Mercola champions. Well, he is, of course, big into vitamins and supplements of all kinds. Basically, that's what you need to boost your immune system and prevent and cure pretty much all kinds of diseases, apparently. He's against genetically modified foods. He's against the fluoridation of water. He's against mercury amalgam fillings. They're all toxic and you have to get them replaced, apparently. He hates aspartame. He even wrote a book, Sweet Deception, about how aspartame is evil and causes cancer. He's against microwave ovens. They're evil and they emit dangerous radiation and they remove the nutrition from your food, apparently. And of course, you should eat raw food and no grains, apparently, because they're evil too. But sunshine is good for you. And contrary to popular belief, it decreases your risk of cancer. But sunscreen, no, sunscreen is evil because sunscreen actually increases your risk of skin cancer. Except that Dr. Mercola actually sells his own natural sunscreen containing green tea, which somehow is good for you. I'm not sure how, according to his own logic, but I guess it's the Dr. Mercola brand label or something. And for some reason, he's also a big promoter of coconut oil as being the best oil you can have. Which is odd because coconut oil is a saturated fat, which goes contrary to the general consensus about the healthiest types of fats. But Dr. Mercola claims that not only does it keep your heart healthy, boost your immune system, fight diabetes, make your skin younger, kill viruses and bacteria, etc., etc., blah, 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 but coconut oil also helps you lose weight. Yes, apparently oil helps you lose weight. As I said, dear listener, there's not much logical consistency to the grab bag of causes and ideas that Dr. McCullough has chosen to promote. And here's an interesting one. Somewhat like Dr. D'Adamo and his blood type diet, Dr. McCullough has come up with his own diet plan based not on your blood type, but on your nutritional type. Now, unfortunately, he doesn't reveal the details of this on his webpage. And even though his website says it's all free, it turns out that you actually have to pay to take the full-length online metabolic assessment to find out what your nutritional type is. Oh well, I guess it's worth it because you don't want to go eating something that's not appropriate to your nutritional type now, do you? Because presumably the consequences would be disastrous, so I suppose. Now, getting a bit more serious, Dr. McCullough also flirts with HIV denialism. It's not clear exactly what he thinks, but he states that antiretroviral drugs are what make people sick and are what actually causes AIDS. He also promotes articles on his website by a number of prominent HIV deniers. So, now that we're on to serious issues like HIV, what about another serious issue like cancer? What does he say about that? Well, as I mentioned, Dr. McCullough is largely opposed to pharmaceuticals, which means that he's against chemotherapy. He has countless articles on his website arguing that chemotherapy is some kind of conspiracy by Big Pharma, while at the same time encouraging people to try alternative treatments. What kind of alternative treatments? Well, he's a big promoter of the treatments offered by Dr. Nicholas Gonzalez, who is a famous cancer quack. Dr. Gonzalez developed the Gonzalez Protocol, which is based on large doses of pancreatic enzymes, a vast array of dietary supplements, and coffee enemas twice a day. Needless to say, the Gonzalez Protocol doesn't work, and a study in 2009 showed that patients on the protocol died 3 times faster than those receiving conventional chemotherapy, and also reported significantly worse quality of life. Yet, Dr. McCullough seems to love it and recommends it. And of course, not to be outdone, Dr. McCullough has his own cancer theory that he promotes at every opportunity. According to the good doctor, what you need to prevent and cure cancer is not chemotherapy or surgery. No, what you need is vitamin D. Yes, and to get it, don't just take supplements. No, you need to use tanning beds, just like in the solarium. Yes, dear listener, tanning beds to prevent and cure cancer. That's Dr. McCullough's advice. Now finally, and sticking with the serious issues, Dr. McCullough is a very vocal opponent of vaccination. He is in fact one of the most outspoken leaders of the anti-vaccination movement. And on his website, you can find various videos of him chatting with many of the most prominent anti-vaccination nutcases, including a delightful interview with Dr. Andrew Wakefield about the danger of vaccines and how they cause autism. Yes, Andrew Wakefield, the former British doctor who published a fraudulent research paper on the non-existent link between the MMR vaccine and autism, and who's now been struck off the register. Yeah, he's a good buddy of Dr. McCullough, apparently. It's so sweet to see them chatting together happily in the video. It really warms the heart. So in other words, dear listener, Dr. McCullough is not only an alt-med wackaloon, he's a dangerous alt-med wackaloon. He encourages people with cancer to try ineffective alternative treatments rather than chemotherapy. and he discourages people from getting vaccines. I don't know what Dr. Mercola's body count is, but I'm sure it's probably quite substantial by now. Now, here's something else to warm the cockles of your heart. Did you know that Dr. Mercola recently donated $1 million to charity? Isn't that nice? And do you know which worthy and deserving charities he gave his money to? Well, a number of alternative medicine lobby groups, including the anti-vaccinationists, the anti-fluoridationists, an anti-GMO lobby group, an anti-mercury amalgam lobby, and a group that promotes raw unpasteurized milk. Well, that was money well spent, Dr. Mercola. You're really making the world a better place by helping that ragtag selection of misguided, misinformed, and quite simply dangerous loonies, quacks, and crackpots. And did you notice what I said there, dear listener? He made a $1 million donation. $1 million. Now, who can afford to donate $1 million to charity? Well, I guess Dr. Mercola must be making a lot of money from his work as an osteopath. Or maybe he has another means of income. How does he get his money, I wonder? Well, let's have a look at what his own website says about him. Okay, on the About Dr. Mercola page, the website goes on for several paragraphs about how the medical establishment is only motivated by profit and that the clinical trials they conduct are scams just designed to sell drugs and make profit, and that you shouldn't trust your health to people whose only motivation is financial profit. Whereas, and this is what it says on his website, "My motivation is to make you as healthy as you can possibly be. Mercola.com is not a tool to get me a bigger house and car and to run for Senate. No, I fund this site, and therefore I'm not handcuffed to any advertisers, silent partners, or corporate parents. Profit generated from the sale of the products I recommend goes right back into maintaining and building a better site. A site that, startling as it may be with all the greed-motivated hype out there in healthcare land, is truly for you." Oh, he's doing it for us. Just for us. Oh, how sweet. He's not motivated at all by financial profit, unlike the medical establishment. No, he does it out of the goodness of his own heart. So, how did he get that $1 million then? Especially as now, apparently, he no longer actually practices as an osteopath. And the Quackwatch website features an aerial photo of Dr. Mercola's luxury mansion in the suburbs of Chicago, complete with swimming pool and extensive lawns and gardens. So, how did he get to live in such a beautiful house if he's only interested in making people healthy? Well, an article in Business Week a few years ago explained how Dr. Mercola is able to donate so much money. He's mega, mega wealthy. His whole website and his whole persona is all aimed at one thing: selling products. He's just a slick 21st century snake oil salesman. Business Week says that Dr. Mercola has made his fortune by, quote, "slick promotion, clever use of information, and scare tactics." And that strategy is clearly evident by looking at his website. According to Business Week, quote, "he is a master promoter, using every trick of traditional and internet direct marketing to grow his business." And of course he does this while all the time trying to cultivate the image that alternative practitioners like him are entirely focused on treating the patient and not on business, unlike the orthodox healthcare industry that is only motivated by greed and money. The depth of his hypocrisy, dear listener, is breathtaking. Some of the sales tricks he uses include throwing in all kinds of bonus gifts with a lot of the products that he sells. This is, of course, a classic ruse of infomercials and salespeople. It's the type of, you know, but that's not all. Along with this expensive, useless product, you also get a set of steak knives. That kind of marketing. And it's an interesting marketing strategy for someone who claims to be not at all interested in money and selling, but only in helping people. The other trick he uses to sell products is that he'll use real news items about scientific research to try to sell you something. His website is chock full of this type of thing. New research shows that some compound somehow caused something to happen in a test tube somewhere. Therefore, buy my amazing supplement now to prevent cancer! Don't worry too much about the fact that these two things are completely unrelated. I'll just make them seem related to sell you a product. The headquarters of Dr. McCullough's empire is a massive office building in Chicago called Dr. McCullough's Natural Health Center. There they offer some limited inpatient services like homeopathy, detox, and tests to determine your nutritional type. I really want to take one of those. But the vast majority of the building is taken up by marketing and consumer relations and fulfilling all those online orders for all those supplements and other expensive products that people don't actually need. Now, to give you an idea of how he does a lot of the selling, let's have a listen to one of the many videos on his website, where supposedly he's not really trying to sell you something, but just give you advice out of the goodness of his heart.
This is Dr. McCullough, and wouldn't it be nice to avoid the hassle and inconvenience of ever having to have any more coughs, colds, or flus? Because, you know, most uncomplicated colds can last between 8 and 9 days. But about 25% last 2 weeks or more, and 5 to 10% can last up to 3 weeks. So when you have a cold, you know, you feel miserable, and you're clearly not functioning at your best. And frequently you're going to have to take off of work or cancel important appointments, and really you're feeling pretty miserable. Now, interestingly, I haven't taken a sick day off of work for over 30 years, and I haven't had any of these upper respiratory infections for many, many years. So what's my trick? What's the key? How do you optimize your immune system to help protect against these infections? Well, I'm going to share with you some of the key secrets and how you can do that.
And on he goes, but I'll spare you all the tedious details, dear listener, because that video goes for 12 minutes. But basically, he goes through a list of all the things you need to not get a cold, supposedly. First of all, you need vitamin D, and you need to get it from a tanning bed, apparently. And, oh, how convenient! Dr. McCullough sells tanning beds on his website for only $3,999. Wow. And you also need, apparently, probiotics. And, oh my God, Dr. McCullough sells them too. Now let's see, he's got some for only $72.97 a bottle. Wow, that's so convenient. And if, after all that tanning and all those probiotics, you still do happen to catch a cold or the flu, well, then you need to take supplements. For example, you need to take zinc. And, oh my God, what a surprise, Dr. McCullough sells zinc supplements too. And you need to take mushrooms, apparently. And wouldn't you know it, he sells Mushroom Complex on his website for only $21.97 a bottle. And of course, you need to take vitamin C. And, well, it really should be as a supplement. And Dr. McCullough sells vitamin C supplements too. Oh my God, he's just an Angel. And they're only $14.97 for a bottle of 60 tablets. And you see, the thing is that he sells liposomal vitamin C, which means, well, I don't know what it means, but apparently it's a marketing term that makes it sound more science-y. So I guess it'll work even better. And Dr. McCullough recommends that you take several grams every hour. The official recommended daily allowance of vitamin C is about 90 milligrams per day. And he's recommending thousands of milligrams per hour. Couldn't that be, I don't know, dangerous? Well, as long as you're buying it from Dr. McCullough, I guess it's all fine, right? I mean, he's a doctor, after all. Let's have a listen to another video now, quickly, of Dr. McCullough appearing on the Dr. Oz show. Now, here, Dr. McCullough is supposedly not trying to sell you something, but just to promote an amazing new therapy. He calls it earthing, and he's promoting it as the latest treatment for exhaustion and to help you lose weight, apparently. Let's have a listen.
We're talking about walking barefoot in order to cure exhaustion and weight gain. Who's doing this and who gave this idea?
Well, it's because it's not simply walking barefoot. It's the devil's in the details. It's walking barefoot on the earth. Huh. And the earth is a massive source of free electrons. And when you do that, these electrons go into your body and they help normalize a lot of the positive ions that are there that tend to accelerate oxidative damages and lead to things like free radicals.
You actually say there's a specialized sheet that you should think about using if you're not going to walk around barefooted.
Yeah, the reason someone would consider using this is there's a lot of benefits other than not shocking you, because when you have enough free electrons, people are familiar with antioxidants. Mm. The reason antioxidants work is they pass an electron and they prevent the formation of free radicals. And why do we need this? Well, when you have enough electrons, your inflammation goes down, and we know that inflammation is the basis of most all chronic disease. And it also thins the blood, so you're less likely to have a heart attack and a stroke. Mm. And in fact, it thins the blood so much that if you're taking a blood thinner, you have to lower the dose.
Yes, dear listener, this supposed miracle cure is simply walking barefoot on the ground. So apart from the complete ridiculousness of the claims that he's making, walking barefoot is free. So how is he going to make any money from it? Well, it goes like this. Dr. McCullough goes on to say that really the most effective treatment is walking barefoot in wet sand on the beach. And if you can't do that, then walking on wet grass is also pretty good. But what's that? Oh, you don't have time in your busy schedule to spend hours every day walking barefoot on wet sand or wet grass? Oh, no. Well, don't worry, because Dr. McCullough has something that will give you all the benefits without the inconvenience. It's called the Earthing Universal Mat, and he sells it on his website for only $59.99. You just have to sit on it while you're watching TV, and it will give you all the same benefits as walking on the beach. Oh my God, how convenient. Thank you, Dr. McCullough. So I think you get the idea. Dear listener, Dr. McCullough's whole slick operation is about creating fears or hopes and then allaying those fears or exploiting those hopes by selling you a product that most likely is ineffective and or way overpriced and normally comes with a large dose of pseudoscientific gobbledygook, just to make you feel like you may not understand it, but obviously some smarter person like Dr. McCullough certainly does. Now, Dr. McCullough's even got a whole section of fitness equipment as well. For example, he sells the Power Plate My 7, which is basically just a plate that vibrates. That's it. you sit on it or stand on it and do your exercises, and somehow it's supposed to make your exercise regime so much more effective. And you can pick up this amazing vibrating plate for only $7,999 from Mercola.com. Wow, I can hardly imagine spending my money on a more useless item. Although maybe the earthing universal mat is in fact more useless. And I'll spare you the details of his whole range of health products for your pets as well. Those pages of the website are particularly exciting to look at. But Dr. Mercola is being a little bit careful these days about the claims he makes when trying to convince you to buy a product. This is because since 2005, he's now received 3 orders from the FDA requiring him to stop making false and misleading claims about the efficacy of his products. Because of this, his website is now forced to carry a disclaimer in the fine print at the bottom of each page, stating, quote, "These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease," end quote. Ouch! That must have been a bitter pill for poor Dr. Mercola to swallow. Well, at least the print is very small. I'm sure no one will notice. So, dear listener, that brings us to the end of our analysis of Dr. Mercola and his crazy ideas. And thanks again, Teresa, for the great suggestion. So now, dear listener, if your neighbour or auntie or work colleague or even your GP happens to mention some amazing new supplement or therapy that you just have to try, and you know it must be good because it's endorsed by Dr. Mercola, just back away carefully, dear listener. Back away. Now, before we go to a song, if you'd like to send in your opinions or a comment or question on today's topic or an idea for a future topic, please send us an email. The address is realitycheck.tony@gmail.com. You can also visit our webpage too for past episodes of Reality Check. That's at realitycheckonline.net. Right, let's take a quick music break now, and when we come back, we'll get into this week's movie reviews.
The most diverse sound for the most diverse crowd. Joy
94.9. Hi, this is Sam Sparrow, and you're listening to Australia's first gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9.
Welcome back to Reality Check with me, Tony Pittman, on Joy 94.9. Also streaming live at joy.org.au. And also available as a podcast to listen to anywhere in the world on your little pod. The song you just heard there was Houdini by Foster the People. It's movie review time now on Reality Check, and the 2 movies up for review today are Contiki and Barbara. Let's start with Contiki. Now, Contiki is a new Norwegian film about the real-life Contiki expedition undertaken in 1947 by Norwegian ethnographer Thor Heyerdahl. The film became the highest-grossing movie in Norway last year and is the most expensive Norwegian film production ever. It was also nominated for the Academy Award for Best Foreign Language Film at this year's Oscars, but lost to Michael Haneke's Amour, which was not a very good movie, I thought. In the 1940s, while visiting several islands in Polynesia, Thor Heyerdahl came up with the theory that the Polynesian islands had not been settled by humans arriving from Asia, but rather by people coming from South America and crossing the whole Pacific Ocean to get there. he wanted to supposedly prove this theory by building a raft using the technology of the pre-Hispanic Americans, and then see if he could get to Polynesia from Peru just by drifting on the currents, basically. So he built a simple raft with a rudimentary sail, but no means of steering. And the movie is about the lead-up to this expedition and then the expedition itself. One interesting thing about this film is that it exists in two versions, in English and in Norwegian. And how did they do that, you ask? Well, believe it or not, dear listener, every take in the movie was shot in both English and Norwegian. I heard an interview with the director talking about this, and apparently the actors would shoot a couple of takes in Norwegian, then a couple in English, then a couple more in Norwegian, and so on until the director was satisfied that they had a usable shot in both languages. For the actors, that must have required great skill and concentration. Unfortunately, in Australia, we could only see the English version. I think I would actually have preferred to see the Norwegian version, particularly because in the English version, for the first half hour of the movie, when they're in Polynesia and New York and Norway preparing for the expedition, the dialogue is really stilted and off-putting. For a while there, I really thought I was in for a very trying 2 hours. But I'm happy to say that once they all get on the raft and the real action begins, the dialogue becomes much more natural and I got totally engrossed in the story. And in the end, I have to say, I really enjoyed this movie. It's an exciting adventure story, basically, well told, well shot, and well acted. And with lots of sharks to spice things up as well. And I have to say, in particular, the actor who plays Thor Heyerdahl, his name is Paul Sverre Valheim Hagen. He's really good, a really captivating lead man who can really carry a movie. I'm really curious to see what he does next. Now, the only problem with the film overall is that, spoiler alert, when they do finally arrive in Polynesia, everyone is joyous and happy. They succeeded in their expedition. And the implication is that they therefore proved Thor Heyerdahl's theory to be correct, that Polynesia was in fact settled by people arriving from South America. However, this is not true. We now know, particularly from genetic analysis, that the Polynesians did not arrive from South America, but did in fact come from Asia, as originally thought. And yet there's no mention of that in the movie. So most people would probably come away from this film thinking that the South American theory had been proven correct. Which, as a skeptic, I have to say it's a little bit annoying when a movie about the history of a disproven theory doesn't then go on to point out that that theory is wrong. Anyway, apart from that quibble, I think Kon-Tiki is a rollicking good adventure, despite the awkward first 30 minutes. And definitely, I would say, a film worth checking out. Now, our second movie up for review today is a new film from Germany called Barbara. And I'll just say it up front, this is one of the best films I've seen all year. It's a small film, a simple film, but really a well-crafted jewel of a film that is so rare to find. Barbara is set in East Germany in 1980, when everyone's activity is closely monitored by the Stasi, the East German secret police. It tells the story of Barbara, a doctor who previously applied for an official exit visa to leave East Germany, and therefore instantly came under great suspicion. Her promising career in Berlin is abruptly brought to an end, and she's sent to a small hospital in a little town on the Baltic coast. But Barbara has a lover in West Germany, and together they plan her escape. Meanwhile, she continues to work at the local hospital under constant surveillance from the Stasi. Will she ever be able to escape or not? Well, I won't reveal what happens, but I will say that from this simple premise comes a gripping and ultimately moving story. One that gradually builds until the very last shot of the film, which really carries a powerful emotional punch. I left the cinema feeling like I'd just witnessed a really impressive example of just good quality craftsmanship at filmmaking. The script is really well thought out, with nothing superfluous, and the acting is wonderful. Understated, but very effective. I have to say, over the last few months, I've unfortunately seen quite a lot of very disappointing movies. Worthy of particular mention is Danny Boyle's latest, Trance, which is a total mess and left me feeling cheated and angry, so it was such a pleasant surprise amidst so much recent nonsense to discover this real gem of a movie, Barbara. So that's two interesting movies, Kon-Tiki and Barbara, both from Europe, both dealing with historic events of the 20th century, and both highly recommended by Reality Check. That brings us to the end of the 60th episode of Reality Check. I hope you enjoyed the show. Remember to send any questions, comments, or feedback to realitychecktony@gmail.com. And visit our website to subscribe to the podcast. That's at realitycheckonline.net. Have a great week, everyone, and I'll be back with the next episode sometime in the coming weeks.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.